Welcome to Prep Sports Now. Case Kiefer here with Ray Brewer on a Monday afternoon talking high school basketball. Wanted to rewind a couple days here on the podcast to Friday. I'm out of town, or maybe it was Saturday, out of town sitting in my hotel room, and you give me a call and say, have you seen what's going on in high school basketball right now? A lot of shakeup that we didn't see coming last week, although you did see some of it coming. You called some of these upsets. Actually had a pretty good week picking games.
Yeah, what we learned last week, Case, was forget about the records and which team has which players. Any given day, 32 minutes, any team in this town could beat any other team. We saw Durango beat Paolo.
Destroy Paolo, right?
Gaynor didn't play. We saw Durango beat Arborview, and we had thought Arborview was going to walk away and win that league. And then Shadow beats Arborview, which I know is a big rivalry up there in the Northwest because the schools are kind of close. Drive to Salt Lake City, make a U-turn, and you're at Shadow Ridge, and then go a few more miles, and you're at Arborview. And over in the Sunrise part of town, Green Valley beat Vegas at home.
What you called?
I did call that one. Vegas has gone from undefeated in the Northeast and a team I thought had a chance to contend for the Sunrise title to now needing to beat Canyon this week just to host the home playoff game.
Yeah, pretty crazy stuff going on. Like you said, Shadow Ridge beat Arborview. Durango, though, their only loss is to Arborview. They didn't beat Arborview yet, but they still play one more time.
Who did Durango beat?
Durango beat Paolo by 20. Hold on, let's get their schedule up. Yeah, all I know is that they're 5-1, and they did lose to Arborview, but they play on Thursday, Durango at Arborview.
And listen, this Durango team, and I give you props. You've said that they've been a team that could blossom, progress, and develop, and that I was kind of short-selling them a little bit, and that they proved you right this week.
But I'm kind of kicking myself because while I said that all week, I mean, I said that all year. I kept picking them. They kept losing. They're still only 12-7 overall. I think I picked them to beat Arborview the last time they played, and Arborview won by like 15. So then, of course, last week is the week I decided to jump off the train. I picked them to lose to Paolo, and they went by 20, and now all of a sudden they're in first place in the division when I stop riding their backs. Kind of makes me feel foolish, and I'm barely at 500 in the picks, by the way.
Yeah, and the Northwest has turned out to be a real fun league. In fact, that whole Sunset's turned out to be fun. You had, in the Southwest, Legacy beat Centennial, Cimarron beat Legacy, and last week, the game of the week, Centennial led Gorman for three quarters and a little bit in the fourth before giving up the lead late and losing the game to the defending state champs. And then in the Northwest, first, we think Powell's going to win the league. Then Arborview, we think, is going to win the league. Now, Durango all of a sudden comes out of nowhere. And then Shadow Ridge, which a month and a half ago was the worst team in town, they're somehow 4-2 in the league.
At least there's one thing we can be sure of in the Northwest. Spring Valley is 0-17.
Yeah.
So just don't pick the Grizzlies and you'll be all right.
Yeah, Spring Valley is not making the playoffs.
Yeah. We should probably talk a little bit about that Gorman and Centennial game. It was the most anticipated of the year, probably, those two teams, I'd say. And it definitely lived up to the hype. I talked to the players I talked to afterwards, and even the coaches said, I mean, this was probably the best game of the year to this point. Just two really high-level teams playing their best. I know Centennial's year hasn't gone as good as we thought it would. They're 16-7 overall, 4-2 in the Southwest. But I'm telling you, when they're at their best, I feel like they will beat anyone except for Gorman. They played terrific against Gorman. The Allen twins combined for something, I don't have it in front of me now, but something like 56 points. And like you said, led pretty much for three quarters. Gorman goes on an 11-0 run to pull away. This is the one thing I felt was a little bit different about this game, though. We've been covering basketball, high school basketball here at the Sun, only 3 years now. But every year there's like this one team in Gorman's league where you're like, all right, on a good day, this team could beat Gorman. This is the game we're looking forward to. 2 years ago, it was Sierra Vista. They played them three times. Last year, I'd say it was Clark. They played them twice. This year, it was Centennial. I saw all those games. I saw them play all those teams at least once. The difference this year is I feel like in the past years when Clark and Sierra Vista made a run or maybe led for a little bit, you still felt like Gorman was going to pull away and win. I didn't get that feeling in this Centennial game. I thought the whole time Centennial could legitimately pull it out and win, and I still think Centennial could beat Gorman. I don't think the gap is as wide as maybe people think by just looking at their records and their personnel.
Feel a little more confident in your state championship.
I actually, as crazy as that sounds, even though they lost at home, I don't feel crazy about the state championship pick because I honestly feel like if Centennial and Gorman play four times, which they could if Centennial gets to the state tournament, I feel like Centennial should beat them one out of four.
Well, here's the thing. I think, A, Centennial has some confidence because they did compete with Gorman for three quarters. But at the same token, you'd have to think that if they couldn't beat them at their home court when they were playing their best and had the lead, are they going to be able to beat them at all? And I think what you saw in this game is that, okay, Marcus and Malcolm Allen, best two players on the court, they give Centennial an edge. And even the Gorman players and coaches afterwards were like, wow, these two kids are as good as advertised. But Centennial's problem is they don't have the players on the inside. They don't have players to complement the Allen twins. And they just don't have the guys on the bench. The Allen twins can't carry you for 32 minutes. I think it's impossible, and that's where you saw Gorman's reserves and experience in big games kind of prevail at the end. And I don't know, Case, and I wasn't there, so this is just my opinion. I don't know if Centennial is going to be able to overcome that. They would need Gorman to play its absolute worst and then play their absolute best to really take advantage of that.
Right. I agree with you on part of it, and maybe disagree a little bit on a part. I agree that Gorman's depth really comes in handy. I mean, Gorman was playing, I think, I could be wrong, I think they play like nine kids and they rotate them in pretty regularly. Centennial, I really think, only played seven guys. And when you're only playing seven guys, one and really only six, I think a seventh came in for a few minutes, you really get kind of worn down. But the thing I wouldn't want to talk negatively about the pieces around the Allen twins. Are they as talented as the guys Gorman has? No. But those kids played really, really hard. They have one other kid that's a pretty good athletic, number 14, who on the roster I have is number 30, but I think his name's Khalil Thompson. He's pretty good. The other two kids that start, Austin Turley and their big guy, I think maybe Marcus Berkeley, I'm not sure. Both of them, I mean, at least if you're not going to have these D1 guys like Gorman has to complement your other D1 guys, those guys play really, really hard. I mean, they're diving after loose balls. They're making good passes. Yeah, so I wouldn't say anything bad about them. It's just that obviously they don't have the talent from top to bottom like Gorman has.
Okay, let me ask you this question. If the Allen twins weren't on the Centennial roster, would they be a playoff team?
That's tough. I think probably because Bonanza and Desert Oasis are pretty bad at the bottom of the league. Okay, I think so they'd be fourth, though. I think Legacy and Cimarron would be ahead of them.
And Legacy's already beat them this year, and they play again this week.
And that's a huge game.
Huge game because Centennial needs to finish two in the Southwest to not play Gorman until the championship game of the Sunset. If they have to play them before and they lose, their season's over. If they play them in the championship game and lose, they still could play in the state playing game to get the matchup at the Orleans Arena on a neutral court. If Legacy wins this game, then Centennial, for all intents and purposes, could figure out when its season's going to end. So, huge game for Centennial because they lost at Legacy earlier in the year. And Legacy's a team that's more than capable. In fact, when they played Gorman at the South Point, they only trailed by a few points at half. I know the Gorman people tell me, Ray, we played sloppy that day. Legacy isn't as good as you think. But still, they gave Gorman a fight for a half and a little more than a half, and they already beat Centennial. So for Centennial, listen, it doesn't take a math major to figure this out. You got to win. You got to beat Legacy this week.
Right, you need to beat Legacy. Legacy does have some pretty good players. I think we've talked about him on here before. The Donovan Gray kid.
One of the best.
Yeah.
It's consideration for 2013 Super 7, correct?
Right, and they also have this Kari Sloan, scores a lot of points for them. Here's the thing, though, before we – both these teams, Legacy and Centennial, I think Gorman's going to win whoever their first-round game is, obviously. But Centennial and Legacy can't be looking past – they could lose in the first round, even if you're the two seed. I was actually looking back to last year's playoffs after the Gorman-Centennial games. I got confused. I was wondering what happened. Do you remember that Palo actually finished third? Yeah. In their division last year, and then upset Clark, who was the two who we thought was the second-best team for sure. In the first round, Clark didn't even make it to the place where they all play in one in one gym.
Mega site, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't even make it to the mega site.
Paolo, you got to remember, they beat Clark, Centennial, and then they gave Gorman a fight in a heated game. You thought the fight was going to break out that night, remember?
Right, right. Yeah, so, I mean, crazy things can happen. I'm just saying, as high as we are on Centennial, we were pretty high on Clark last year at this time, and it wouldn't shock me if somehow Centennial gets the two, but Paolo is that three. We all know about the Paolo Centennial rivalry. I mean, yeah. What if Paolo beats him?
Anything from the Shadow Ridge victory last week? It's that anything could happen. Let's talk real fast about Clark, because Clark is clearly the best team in the Division 1A this year. They're a level lower than Gorman, Centennial, and Paolo, and them. And Max Preps calls Gorman now. Calls Clark, and granted, it's a computer. They call Clark the best team in town, and Clark will tell you it's the best team in town. Deontay Jones, Sir Washington, they are absolutely cruising through the Division 1A. I think they were up 27-1 after the first quarter against Western last week. I would love to see Clark Gorman this year. Do you think that Clark could beat Gorman this year? I know you haven't seen Clark, and neither have I, but we know they've got some good pieces.
Yeah, I think, I just said Centennial could beat Gorman, and they should. Then I think if I said that, I have to say that Clark could. I think at their best, maybe Clark and Centennial are both about equal. Maybe Clark's a little better, but Centennial did beat Clark this year. I think Clark's probably a little more consistent, probably has a little more pieces than just the Allen twins. So I think Clark could certainly beat them. It's too bad it's just a game we're not going to get to see. We're going to have to settle for Desert Pines and Clark, and DP is no slouch either.
Donovan Wright is going to walk down the. I'm still picking DP in that game because I'll take Julian Jacobs and Donovan Wright, who I think is the most underrated player in Nevada, no doubt about it, against Sir Washington and Deontay Jones. I think Donovan Wright is going to play some of the best defense on the Jones kid, and I think Jacobs will destroy Washington.
I picked DP at the beginning of the year because I'm just as high on Julian Jacobs as you, but I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm kind of backing off it because I really like Clark. I mean, they're 21-1 or whatever. That's ridiculous, and I got to catch you in the picks. You're like 10 games ahead of me, so if it's a pick, I'm going to go with Clark.
Here's the deal with Clark. To their credit, they are beating teams they should in humiliating fashion. Desert Pines is doing a great job of playing down to their level of competition.
Really? They just beat Shap by 30 last week.
I totally understand, but look at some of their scores.
They beat Moapa by 51.
Okay, well, maybe I was wrong.
I don't know. Maybe that was true earlier in the season, but I'm looking at their last five games. They beat Sunrise by 40, Virgin Valley by 29,
okay,
Shap by
wrong.
30.
I was wrong. And Desert Pines on Saturday, there's a day of games Saturday at Coronado. Penny Hardaway, the former NBA player, is hosting a day of games. And Desert Pines is going to get a crack at Finley Prep at 8 at night at Coronado. Go check it out. Also, at 6, the host Coronado Cougars are going to play Simeon out of Chicago. They've got this Jabari Parker kid who is like the next LeBron, the best player in the nation, committed to the Duke Blue Devils. So Coronado and DP bracing for the dunk show. They don't want to get posterized.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty tough game for Coronado. Simeon, who I think at one point was the top-ranked team in the country.
Yeah, and Foothill plays a team from Tennessee as well as part of that tournament. So I think Foothill undefeated in the Southeast.
Yeah, Foothill and Valley both still undefeated in their league.
And I think Foothill's gearing up for an appearance at the Ortlands Arena. I love that. I can't believe they're not going to be here this year for the state tournament.
Yeah, it is a fun thing.
I just like having an ally there on press row because usually the NIAA folks, they hate the sun. They put us like next to the janitor's closet, and it's always fun to listen to. LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. We're brought to you by the Nevada Department of Public Safety. In case they remind you to do what?
Eyes on the road, hands on the wheel.
Yeah, eyes on the road, hands on the wheel. And you could download as Prep Sports Now with iTunes.
Right. Check it out on iTunes, Nevada Department of Public Safety.
Let's get to the picks, baby. My Green Valley Gators. Tyler Roberts and company picking up some steam. They beat Vegas at home. And I think they're obviously a playoff team because Rancho and Silverado have been awful. But huge game at Valley, who, let's be honest, they've steamrolled everybody. And when they looked like they were going to lose against Vegas 2 weeks ago, they came and took care of business. The Valley Vikings, my man Spencer Mathis, your guy, Danny Young.
Oh, right, right. I was wondering where you're going with that.
Highlight of my life, Danny Young, putting him back in the game that day. I got Valley winning big, 80-66.
Yeah, I like Valley a lot here, too. This was really the only game I looked at before we came in here, so... I like Valley, and I'm looking forward to Valley and Foothill actually played in a tournament, and Foothill beat them by 9. But I'm looking forward to that game again. If those two teams can play as well as they are right now and get through the their region to meet in the championship game, that would be a good one.
Here's my deal with Foothill. We'll talk about them because they host Basic later this week. We've each seen Foothill play, correct?
Right.
For me, I think they're one of these live and die with a three-point shot. Austin Starr gets hot, they beat Basic, they beat Green Valley. If the three-pointer's not dropping for Foothill, do they have enough to win on the inside and with the defense? Because the three-pointer is such a big part of their game.
Defense, for sure, I'd say yes. I think they play great defense from the game I saw, and maybe I would be tempted to agree with you, but the fact of the matter is they're 17-3, and they weren't shooting threes that well every game. So obviously they've done it without the three a few times.
And the Crisanto kid still is banged up. You figure if he does make it back, then they're that much better. Next game, Liberty at Coronado. The Patriots, Case, they beat Basic at home Friday, and they are now in the thick of the playoff race in the Southeast. They're at Coronado. Kai Nakua, the football quarterback, the offensive player of the year in the Sunrise, also plays hoops. He's not the best player on the team or the court, but he is a Division I athlete, pretty big, and he helped them beat Basic, and Liberty's got some momentum going into Coronado. I still think Coronado prevails. I've got him winning a tight game, but if Liberty won, I wouldn't be that surprised.
Right. Yeah, Kainakua probably helping out. They have the – I'm probably going to mispronounce his name or say it wrong, but that Jeremy Lontoyo or whatever is their best player, I think.
And Kyler Newman plays as well.
Yeah, he's another one of their really good players. Here's the thing. I think Coronado is going to win this game. I think there's just got – knowing that Liberty is right there, and if they win this game, I think is in the playoffs and Coronado is out, I think Coronado is just going to have a real sense of urgency. They're playing at home.
Liberty.
I think the Cougars' just focus is going to be really sharp in this game, and I think they're going to win.
Justice and Ogden, go for it, babe. All right, next game. Legacy at Centennial. I already gave you the scenario. Centennial needs to win this game basically to help its chances to make the state tournament. They already lost to Legacy once. I think this game has to be circled for them. It's at home. There's no way they lose this game, in my humble opinion. Give me the Dogs by double digits.
Yeah, I really like Centennial in this game. I think that they should even the score with Legacy. No disrespect to Legacy, who's been great this year, beat Centennial, of course, but I think that the Allen Twins should
get
it done.
Shout out to their coach, JT3. He does a great job, Legacy. Next game, my Las Vegas Wildcats at Canyon Springs. Listen, for me, Vegas, their problem, I thought, was getting the ball up the court when they lost to Valley. I can't fault them that much for losing to Green Valley last week because it's extremely tough to play Green Valley. They need this game against Canyon Springs. You were right last week when you said you don't know who's playing for Canyon because Shaq Carr hasn't been in the lineup. I think even though Vegas isn't that good on the road, I think they prevail.
Shaq Carr has not been in the lineup. Wow, I didn't know that. But my boy Jared Davis did come back. I think last week was his first week. We see this every year with Vegas. They're so good at the beginning and then start struggling in league play. This year I really bought into them. I think a couple weeks ago I said they were going to win the Northeast. I probably should pick them because they do – I feel like whoever I'm going to pick in this game, the other side's going to win because that's what happens with Vegas games for me. But I'm going to go with Canyon. Why not? They're at home, Canyon Springs.
Coronado at El Dorado. Coronado with a real tough week. They've got this game against Liberty – again with El Dorado, and of course Saturday they get the huge test with Simeon. Listen, I still, even though El Dorado has been disappointing to me. I thought they were an elite team in the Southeast. I thought they were going to win the whole thing. I still think it's tough to play there. That gym is brutal with the backboards. It's a real rough around the edges place, not like Coronado. I think that that fact gives El Dorado the edge. I like the Sun Devils, baby.
Yeah, I think El Dorado is the better team here with the they got kind of their own two-headed monster, right, with Billingsley and someone
some
else.
Other guy.
they do have I know they have some players. They did win at Coronado by 11. I don't see why it'd be different here. I'm going to go El Dorado.
All righty. Next game, Friday night, Basic at Foothill. This game has to be on a Friday. I love Basic at Foothill in any sport. The school are so close. That old Henderson, real tight-knit community feel. Basic is in jeopardy, buddy. Your Basic Wolves that you said could win the Sunrise, this loss now to Liberty puts them kind of in danger of maybe not making the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true. They're right in that mix, too. It's
right
rough.
One team won't get in. Foothill's going to put Basic at a little more of a deficit. I think the Falcons own the Wolves. Give me Falcons by 8.
Yeah, it's hard for me to pick against Foothill here. They just play so solid. I feel like you know what you're going to get out of them, and you don't really know what you're going to get out of Basic on a night-to-night basis. I will say Basic plays El Dorado on Tuesday, and if they lose that game, I think I like them better here because this is an absolutely must-win. They're going to be so focused, so intense. But I think they're going to beat El Dorado at home, so I think they're going to lose this game. I'm going with Foothill.
All righty. Up next, your Durango Trailblazers at Arbor View. Arbor View goes from the driver's seat to the back seat in the Northwest, and Durango all of a sudden controls its own destiny. Hey, I say they stay hot, Case. Give me the Trailblazers. Great job by them. They're peaking at the right time. 63, Arbor View 61.
Yeah, look, the one thing we know about basketball season is there are ups and downs. You go through some rough times. I guess the true test of a team is just who bounces back, because you're, for the most part, going to lose some games. I think Arbor View just went through a rough stretch. I think they get back here, and I think they're going to beat Durango rather convincingly.
Peaks and valleys. We'll see which way it turns. Up next, Case, Cimarron Memorial at Legacy. Remember, Cimarron somehow beat Legacy earlier in the year. I don't think it happens, especially since I have Legacy losing earlier in the week to Centennial. I think the Longhorns of Legacy beat Cimarron, kind of wrap up the number 3 seed.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is a tough game for me. Legacy's clearly the favorite, but I feel like I'm going with most favorites this week. So maybe I need to go with an upset. I'm going to take Cimarron. Maybe they just match up well with Legacy. Maybe they've got their number. I'm going to say Cimarron gets it done.
Cheyenne at Clark, our last game, a 1A game. Probably the 1A Sunset Championship game. Clark, which we said earlier, kills everybody against Cheyenne. Some folks think this game is going to be close. They think Cheyenne ultimately will give Clark a good battle. I disagree. I got the Chargers winning by 20 plus.
Yeah, those people are wrong. Clark big in that game. Come on, Cimarron. I hope you're listening. J.C. Broussard and the Spartans, hook me up with a victory here against Legacy.
Thank you guys for listening. Have a safe